What if there were a fountain of youth pill that could add decades to your life? Would you take it? Unlocking the Fountain is a podcast about the mysteries of aging and the scientific quest to slow, stop, or even reverse it.
When do you think we're going to have the first 150-year-old? I think that person's already alive.
Unlocking the Fountain. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
How's this for a story? Nonso Amadi is going to school in Hamilton, Ontario. He's originally from Nigeria. He's studying engineering. When he's not studying, he's releasing songs. He looks one day and one of those songs has a million streams. I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q.
Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Baby girl, no, take me to so different. I don't recognize you with all these different pretty girls in my life. Baby, you're so different. I don't recognize you.
That's a little bit of Different by Nonso Amadi featuring Majid Jordan. In just a few short years, Nonso Amadi has become well-known around the world for a very unique style of music. So Nonso was born and raised in Nigeria, surrounded by Afrobeats as a kid, but found R&B as a way to express things that were difficult for him to say out loud. These two sounds come together in Nonso's music. He creates this beautiful fusion that looks at life and love and politics, and you can still dance to it. And that's earned him millions of streams all before the release of his debut album. Nonso Amadi dropped by Q to catch up with our good friend guest host Talia Schlanger just before the release of his debut album When It Blooms to talk a little bit about his journey from Nigeria to Canada and the moment he knew that his life was going to change. Here's their conversation.
Welcome to Q.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is huge.
I'm excited for you.
I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. I just mean about the album in general. I was listening to it yesterday on a beautiful sunny walk. I'd like to take an album for the first time for a walk.
Yeah.
And it just feels so good.
Oh, wow.
So congratulations.
That means a lot. Thank you. That's the feeling we were trying to like make sure the listener felt listening to the album. Just like a feeling of like encouragement, positivity. That's great.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Yeah. I want to go back even further and talk mm-hmm. about how music came into your life in the first place. I read that it might have to do with your sisters and with MTV.
Yeah, that's great. So it started with my sisters. I remember like being a kid, just watching them like listen to music at night. They were listening to Alicia Keys, Aaliyah, Usher, you know, just dancing in the living room. And I'm like looking at them like, hey, girls, can I just like watch my cartoons? Is that too much to ask as a child? I know you guys are older than me, but like I would love to watch like some Tom and Jerry or something. And those nights really shaped this moment. You know, those nights listening to them sing those songs from their heart and really like feel it. It really brought me to where I am right now, you know, introduced me to R&B music. And I just like love to live in those worlds. African music and R&B music is where I sit in between.
There are interesting worlds to bring mm-hmm. to bring together. And it's a unique thing that I want to talk a little bit more about in a moment. But first, when did you realize that you wanted to become a musician yourself?
I think it was like post my university in Hamilton. I did my master's in Hamilton.
So you grew up in Lagos,
I grew up in
Nigeria.
Lagos, yeah.
And then
I went to the UK, did my bachelor's in chemical engineering. And then I came to Canada. I did my master's in engineering design. And during those like short years of like doing, you know, studying engineering, I was making music on the side. Like I would make music, put it on SoundCloud, just see what happens. And a particular song took off. But by the time I was in McMaster doing my master's, like this particular song had like taken off to the point where it had over a million plays, no promotion, nothing. And I thought to myself, like, I could actually do this professionally.
Like, wait, we're talking about the song Tonight,
tonight,
right?
Yes.
Say tonight you can call my phone. Tonight you can call me all night long. Tonight I represent the guy with the money who live fast, but still, baby, don't die young. So tonight just go all the way with me, all the way with me. Tonight just go all the way with me, all the way with me.
That's Nonso Amadi with Tonight. You have your eyes closed while we're listening. It's so peaceful.
It takes me back.
So tell me where it takes you back to. So it's 2017. You're studying chemical engineering. I mean, how did you go from having this passion that you're talking about for music to studying chemical engineering? Like, why was that part of the path?
Honestly speaking, that was my parents' decision.
Okay.
So I always say, like, every Nigerian parents they have three things that their children can be: lawyers, doctors, or engineers. Anything else, and you're a failure.
Okay. So a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure, you know. And my parents wanted me to be an engineer. You know, whatever field of engineering I wanted to do was fine with them. But by the time that master's degree was done, that was when I knew that, okay, school is great and all, but, like, I have a huge passion for music and I really want to delve into this and explore this more.
And that was confirmed by this song totally blowing up, right? With no machine behind
nothing.
Promotion, no label, none of this stuff, just like a purely great song.
Yeah.
What did your parents think back home when you told them, okay, I'm living in Canada now and also I'm getting kind of big for my music?
They couldn't believe it. They were like, there's no way. Like, there's no way you're telling me, you know, we spent all this money and you just want to, like, you know, you want to leave it for music. I told them, you know, I have these songs that are doing okay and all that. They didn't believe me. So I invited them out to a show in Lagos, my first headline show, which had like just under 1,000 people. And they came out and they saw everyone singing the songs word for word. And they're like, what is happening, right? My child, you know, is on stage and there's people singing his songs. This is real, like, you know. And since then they've been supporting me, like, when they saw how real it is and just the love from the fans, like, they were sold. Yeah,
it sounds like they're touched by the fact that you're connecting with lots of people, like, not even the fame aspect of it or the finance part of it, just like seeing you speak to people in the place where you're from. That's really lovely.
Yeah. I mean, we lived in Lagos all our lives. We weren't like a famous family or anything. So, like, to see something that their child started as a hobby in school, you know, became this huge thing where people are paying money to see the kid perform. It was so unbelievable to them.
I'm talking to Nonso Amadi, whose debut album is just about to come out. I'm Talia Schlanger, sitting in for Tom Power. So you mentioned this earlier, you have this blend of Afro beats and R&B, which is a unique thing.
Mm-hmm.
What draws you to both of those sounds and to bringing them together in what you do?
I think for R&B, it's because of my personality. I mean, I was worse than this before. I'm very introverted.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I used to be shy. I used to be, like, just closed off. And R&B is a genre that's, you know, it's from the heart. It's very expressive. It has a lot of passion and emotions in it. And I think that was just, like, super interesting to me to see a particular genre that, you know, expresses itself in an almost poetic way. And with Afro beats, like, it's in my blood, like, African music. Since I was born, like, I've grown up listening to it on the streets of Lagos. So I just try to find a way to merge both worlds.
As an introverted person, did you find it a stretch to get up on stage in front
of... Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I struggled with that. I remember my first show in Lagos. I was shaking on stage. As much as we had a great sold-out night, I was, like, so nervous that day. And I remember, like, someone coming to me, a lady coming to me, and she's like, oh, my God, I could see you shaking. It's so cute. I'm like, I'm not sure this is a compliment or this is not what I expected to hear. But you just let me know that I had a lot to learn about how the industry works and how stage presence and all that worked. Yeah.
Some of the biggest artists in the world right now are Afrobeats artists. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Burna Boy and Wizkid and Tems, and even Drake isn't an Afrobeats artist, of course, but mm-hmm. he's released some songs that have sort mm-hmm. of dabbled in the genre. What's it like for you to see, as a Nigerian person, you said that this is in your blood, what's mm-hmm. it like for you to see this genre be so popular?
I mean, it's great. I think it's important to remember how we got here. Mm. There's been a lot of people that set the stage before Wizkid and before Burna Boy. You talk about the likes of Two Face and Paul Play, Fela Kuti. These are like legends and people who have been, you know, working very hard to even just like get a recognition from like an award, you know, or something. And, you know, we're at a point where it's a bit more acceptable. And I think it's because Afrobeats is finding a way to cross over in terms of like, how we merge the sound with R&B and how we merge it with like soul or hip hop, whatever. It just connects a bit more with people from different parts of the world. And it's just interesting to see. I think it's going to go even further,
yeah.
a lot more further with more emergent acts coming up. Yeah.
I want to play another song. Okay. This is Ease Up.
I don't really blame myself. I've been on this road for a long time. He doesn't take care for us. Politics is more important. I know be to keep myself. Mama, I go take an easy. We just wanna ease up. Forget the stress like you've got an ease.
That's Nonso Amadi with Ease Up. We're dancing.
Oh, yeah,
like, you can't help but dance.
Of course.
But yes. This is also a political song that has a lot to say about the landscape in Nigeria, mm-hmm. where you're from. So tell me about writing this song.
So this was pretty tough because I made the song and I immediately just wanted to forget that I made it because it was like super political and super like, you know, intense. And I, like you said, I wanted the album to feel light and airy and just like positive. But this song, its messaging is way, way more heavier than that. So I just thought it would be unfair to leave it out of the project. As much as I want to like talk about my story and all that, this is a part of my story, the Nigerian struggle, the everyday youth in Nigeria. We work really hard. Like, Nigerians are known as really hardworking people, but our government and, you know, our leaders over the years haven't really been, you know, as supportive or as on point as they can be. And that's just unfortunate because it just leads to a huge mass of people, over 100 million people. I think somewhere closer to 200 million people as of the latest census, who are working day and night, you know, against lack of electricity, constant electricity, lack of clean water, lack of roads, lack of even fuel to move every day. So how could you leave that out of your story? You know, I lived through this for 15, 16 years of my life. You know, if you're going to make an album that tells your story, you need to talk about that struggle too. So Ease Up talks about that and how, like, we as young people want to enjoy ourselves. We want to ease up. We want to, like, go home to some light and just, like, watch TV without worrying about, like, getting gas for, you know, generators or something. It's just like really, really tough, you know.
You said that you wanted to put the song away immediately as you wrote it. Is that because it's like emotionally hard to think about, or because it made you nervous to be outspoken about things back home, or a different reason?
It's both of those things. The moment I wrote it, I thought about like the consequences of speaking out in a country such as Nigeria, you know. A lot of people want you to just be like, yeah, it's great, everything's fine, especially the government. They don't want you to cast the country in a negative light. But it's not casting the country in a negative light, which is what I had to realize. It's more about speaking about the truth of what's going on. And for a lot of people that look up to you, like the fans in Nigeria, they listen to the album and they're like, okay, we're listening to Nonso's story, but we... we want to feel like he's talking about us, and also like, you know, he's one of us. Like, he's been through where I've been through. So it would just be, you know, it wouldn't be right to, as much as I'm afraid of speaking up, and honestly, you have to be, but you just have to do it. You just have to, like, you know, take a step. There's been very few African songs that, you know, are speaking on these issues right now, but people like Burna Boy, you know, they've taken a step in saying what's wrong and what's right. Fela Kuti was very popular for doing things like that, and he got in a lot of trouble for that. So it's just like, we had to do it. We had to include something. Even if it's just one song on the album, it goes a long way.
That's for sure. Yeah. Have you heard from folks back home or young people about what it means to them?
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's been one of those songs that resonates the most with Nigerian youth, and I'm glad we did it, and I can't wait to perform it in Nigeria, in a secret location, in a hideout location where no one can find us.
Yeah, you're saying that with a smile on your face, but I feel like you're serious.
I'm very serious.
Yeah. It's no joke. You chose one more song for us from your debut album, When It Blooms, and you wanted us to play the song Thankful.
Yeah.
So I know that faith and gratitude are a very big part of who you are. We can hear it in talking to you for the last, you know, little bit. Tell me about this song and why it's meaningful to you.
So this is the last song on the project, and this project is titled When It Blooms because we wanted to symbolize the journey and the growth of a plant. You know, a plant starts as a seed, a little seed, goes in the soil, breaks apart, goes through whatever it goes through. And that's like me when I started in the industry. I was super shy, nervous, and I had to go through a lot of things. But, you know, the plant finally bursts out of the soil and becomes this beautiful, you know, flower with petals, and it's receiving the light from the sun and water. And I symbolize that to where I'm at right now in life. Like, you know, I've grown a lot, and I'm like receiving a lot of love, and I'm just thankful for where I'm at right now. And it has a voice note from my mom on there, which is very powerful, and it makes me cry every time I hear it. But she talks about my journey too, and where she's seen me grow in life, you know, from the point where she was like nervous about me, you know, in the UK, and now where she's seen me as a young man, just figuring out everything.
And carrying such a good message with you along the way. She must be so proud.
She is.
We'll leave it there. I wish you all the best. I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the conversation. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Way back when the name went public, everybody knew my name. I'm the one you can't quit. City, see, I'm on my own. Don't say nothing, and they don't wanna lose me, no. Remember back in then, and I smoke when I get my talent. And the girl, yeah, like not alright, but the only thing she give me now the silence. Oh, but these days she dey blow my phone, say now me be the ring for a telephone. With the fans and my G's, I be number one. Make me go celebrate like it was my lord. Hey, I'm so thankful. With the fans, I'm so thankful. Now they grab me, they go carry dancing. Now they feed me so. Say now you need the riches. Tell my family come. When I smoke, then they carry me come. Tell my managers.
That is Nonso Amadi and his song Thankful. His new album, When It Blooms, is out everywhere May 26th. Before that, Nonso's conversation with Q guest host Talia Schlanger. The other episode we have up today is my conversation with the Canadian actor Jennifer Podemski. I should say Canadian actor, director, producer, showrunner, writer. Her new show is so beautiful and so powerful. It's called Little Bird. It's the story of a young girl who's abducted from her family as part of the 60s scoop, is placed to live with a wealthy Jewish Montreal family who they themselves are still, you know, dealing with the legacy of the Holocaust. And it's about the intersection of traumas, especially in Canada. She'll be here to talk about why this was the perfect story for her to tell. Go check that out. All right, we'll see you soon. Later on.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.